This is everyone that made it back to be with us this evening. Let me ask you a question. Something for us to consider tonight. Is it wrong to be liberal? Oftentimes when we hear that word and used in religious sense, it carries with it a lot of negative connotations, doesn't it? In the truest sense of the word, when we're talking about it in the way that we most take it oftentimes, it describes one who is religiously liberal in that he does not believe the Bible really to be inspired of God. And that person would call into question such things as the deity of our Lord and the reality of such things as heaven, hell, and even the judgment. And to them, everything contained in the Bible is a subject of speculation, debate, and even ridicule at times. Now, often the word liberal in and of itself is misused to describe something that does not even really violate Scripture. There are those that will call something liberal simply because I don't like it. Not necessarily because it's wrong. Not necessarily because the Scripture says anything against it, but I don't like change. I don't like it. There are those, and I've run across them, that we didn't this morning, but normally we have a PowerPoint lesson or a PowerPoint that goes along with our lesson on Sunday mornings. Folks, there are some that will call that liberal. Now, when we do that, and we use that word in such a way, just to label something that way because we're not used to it, friends, then we're just as wrong as the true liberals. Now, I am very much opposed to a true religious liberal. I am very much opposed to those who seem also that want to push the envelope just for the sake of change. Change for change's sake doesn't make a great deal of sense to me. It never has. But at the same time, friends, I return to our original question. Is it always wrong to be liberal? One definition of the word liberal is this: generous in amount or ample. So friends, when used in that sense, I wonder, is it wrong to be liberal? A couple of things I want us to consider tonight. Number one, is it wrong to be liberal in our devotion and service to God? Now, of course, I don't think anyone here tonight would say that it is wrong to be liberal in our devotion and service to our Lord and our Savior, in our devotion and service to God. I think an event in the life of Christ, as is recorded in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, can help us understand this a little bit better. Let's turn there together. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. I think this gives us some insight into this. Now, as we know, a lawyer wanted to know what to do to inherit eternal life. Look at verse 25. Here's this certain lawyer, and he stood up, he tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, his response is this. He answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." All right, now, let's consider these things together for a moment. In this conversation, this man, this lawyer, demonstrated that he had a head knowledge, so to speak. He knew the law as it was written, right? He could regurgitate it. He could tell you what the law of Moses said concerning these things. But what did Jesus do with that knowledge? He took it and he challenged this lawyer, this man, to put what he knew into practice. Now, of course, what follows is what? Concerning the Good Samaritan, isn't it? That we read about here concerning what took place, and Jesus gives us that example. Now, of course, the first requirement of the law, as the lawyer answered, again, there in verse 27, was what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Now friend, just like it was then, even as it is now, those who would liberally demonstrate their love for God with all of their being are to be commended. That is what God requires, but all too often, in any age, there are going to be those, as it seems to be with the lawyer in this instance, there are going to be those that are liberal with their words of devotion, but they're not so liberal when it comes to their action and concern to their devotion and putting those expressions into action. So is it wrong to be liberal in our devotion and service to God? Absolutely not. That's what God, as a matter of fact, requires of us. Number two, and we'll stay here in this passage, is it wrong to be liberal in our love for and service to others? Now we get into this parable or this account of the Good Samaritan, don't we? Now, here we have the lawyer here, again, he knew the requirement of the law, and it was not limited to devotion and service. It contained the requirement to love your neighbor as yourself. Right, I can say I love God, I serve God. Well, what does that love, what does that service include? Love and service to others. And that's what Jesus is getting at here with this lawyer. Okay? Now, after Jesus answered this man's quibble about who his neighbor was, it became very clear that this particular requirement involves action and not just words. Now, you're familiar with the parable, right? The man is going down, and the way that Jesus is describing was known as Robber's Way, by the way. It was a place that was fraught with danger, and it was a place that no one really wanted to travel by himself. Now, I don't know if this man that Jesus is describing, I have a feeling that most likely this account is real. While no names are used, Jesus describes in detail what happens here. Now, what happens is this man is beaten. He's robbed. He's everything is taken from him. He's left in a ditch. If not tended to, most likely he's going to die. A priest comes along, sees him there, and doesn't so much go and see if there's anything he can do. He just walks to the other side of the road and goes on his way. Then a Levite, two men now, that ought to know the law of Moses, frontwards and backwards, upside down and sideways. They know what God's law says concerning love your neighbor as yourself. Here is the one of their own countrymen. One of their own kinsmen. And they walk away as if he wasn't there. And then along comes the Samaritan. A man the Jews hated, by the way. So much so, and you've heard me talk about this before, that the Jews, when they needed to get to the northern part or the southern part, Samaria is right smack dab in the middle. We need to get up here. Well, I'm not going through Samaria. I'm going to cross Jordan, go as far north or south as I need to go, and then cross the Jordan again. And friends, they would do that even during the rainy season when the Jordan had flooded its banks. They would rather take their lives in their own hands than to call than to cross the path of a single Samaritan. Wanted nothing to do with them. But here's a man that knew he was hated by the Jews. That most likely this man that is laying in the ditch, he had derided his own people, maybe even derided this man before, and yet he takes the time and spends his money and uses his beast and his medicine, his oil, to treat this man's wounds. To go, in a manner of speaking, as we sometimes talk about, to go above and beyond the call of duty, right? Now, the answer to this question, when Jesus asked, now tell me, who was this man's neighbor? The answer, of course, was the man that was liberal. and his time and his money and his possessions, his care and his love. This man gave of his time and his energy to help another human being. Friends, it would be wrong to overlook the charge given to the lawyer and to us in such a way. Verse 37 clearly points that out, doesn't it? Go and do likewise. We talked about giving this morning. Is it wrong to be liberal in our giving? And of course, the answer to that question, as the other two, the answer is no. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, we alluded to this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in the first five verses. Now, remember this. Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, had given them a charge to lay by in store so that there be no gathering when I come. Apparently, they had not done this. At least not in the way that Paul had told them to do this. And so he's trying to encourage them to do what he had already told them to do in a previous letter. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, he wants to tell them about some other members of the church. He wants to tell them about some of their brethren. Listen to what he says. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Friends, I want you to notice verse 4 for just a moment. New King James says, implore, or imploring us. Apparently, now this is what I take away from it, you may take something else. Apparently when Paul and those that were traveling with him went and the churches of Macedonia gave to them to take to the saints in Jerusalem and Judea, apparently Paul and some of the others tried to give them back some of what they had gathered to give and to send. Notice again what he says. They gave, back in verse 3, beyond their ability. Friends, they gave to their own detriment. They gave so liberally that they were hurting themselves in giving in such a way. They were so, and I can't really think of the word, desperate. Maybe to see to the needs of their brethren in Jerusalem and Judea, that they would hurt themselves in such a way. That's how liberal they were. But Paul explains it by saying they first gave of themselves. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And so that way, friends, is the way that they were able to give in such a liberal way. Now notice what the encouragement from Paul was. Look at verse 6 and 7. Here's the example of Macedonia. Now look what Paul says to the Corinthian church. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all diligence and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Paul says, you have all of these miraculous, you have these gifts of the Holy Spirit. You abound in these things. And in saying that, it seems maybe that Macedonia didn't have all of the gifts. But Macedonia outshined them on one point, didn't they? And that's what Paul says. You abound in these things, abound in this grace too. Friends, Paul calls upon the Corinthian church to be just as liberal in their giving as the Macedonian church was. And friends, we can take so many lessons away from that, so many applications that we can take and apply them to ourselves. Friends, think about this. This is something that I have thought about, and maybe we should all think about this to some degree. Why? In James 1 and verse 25, we're told about the perfect law of liberty. Now, I've yet to have anyone satisfactorily really explain to me why those of us who live according to that perfect law of liberty should not outgive those who struggled under a system described by Peter as a yoke, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Friends, we should be just as liberal in our giving as the Macedonians, as Paul was calling upon the Corinthians to be. We need to be liberal in that way, in seeing that the work of God is continued, not only here, but in other places. Now the word liberal, friends, I think as we have seen in our study tonight, is not always a bad word. It's not always a word that we should try not to be labeled as, okay? Because in these regards, we ought to, in every respect, be liberal. We should be liberal in our devotion and service to God. We should be liberal in our service to others and friends. We should be liberal in our giving. Now, in James chapter 1 and verse 5, James tells us that God gives to all men liberally. Should we not do the same? Now, friends, as we contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints, let us do so with a liberal heart. Let's resolve to be generous in our demonstrations of love for God and our fellow man, and that will be reflected in the ample amount of time, the ample amount of energy, the ample amount of material resources given to the work of the Lord. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, are you liberal in your devotion and service to God? If you're here tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then friends, your answer must necessarily be no. Because if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, friends, if you've never obeyed what God has lined out for us in His holy book, then you're not devoted to Him. Why not tonight put Christ on in baptism? Why not tonight become a child of God? Why not tonight become liberal in your devotion to God? Friend, it may be that you're here having obeyed the gospel, but you haven't remained liberal in your devotion to God. You haven't remained liberal in your service to others. Why not tonight come home and be His again, be restored to the church that God established? Friend, if you have a need, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation, why not tonight? Come while we stand and while we sing.